Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
Implication, does something impact your body and your heart, your soul, your spirit when you say Amen? It means you agree with God, and not only that, it means you take it in to change your life. So when you hear the word of God, don't just sit there and be quiet. You say Amen when you agree. Say it out loud, Amen.
Amen.
Yes, that's right. Let's have this culture in the church. When you hear something that you agree, you say Amen. Amen. You can stand up and shout and say, Amen. You take it in. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I do that to my patient too. When my patient say that, you know, I have this habit to the point that when my patient says, oh, after surgery, my leg pain is gone. I say, Amen. I say, and my patient look at me, what are you doing? Amen. Some of them don't understand the word Amen. Are you ready? 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. The Bible say, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us the issue of the honor of God. Father, we want to receive and take what you say. We don't want to follow the way of the world. We want to follow the way of heaven. Lord, we know that many things we may not fully understand, but your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to understand, open our hearts to see, to know, and to receive what you want to say today, Father. Lord, we depend on your Holy Spirit for the preaching and for the hearing and listening of the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit to come to be the great teacher in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. How many people believe that the Word of God is full of life and power? How many people believe that the Word of God can change you? How many people love the Word of God? Amen. We have been talking about the issue of the honor of God since the camp time. And I know that many of you have not listened to many sermons regarding this one. And some of you missed the camp. I'd like to encourage you to order the CD and listen to them carefully, because I believe that God really wants to change this generation to be the generation that understand the honor of God. How many people believe that our God is the honorable God? A few days ago, while I was in the operating room waiting for the patient to be under anesthesia, the Lord spoke to me that I am the honorable God. Tell my people that we make choice. We should make a choice to walk in honor and to honor people, whether young or old, whoever around you. Amen. When I am in the operating room, I honor the nurses. I honor grab tech. I honor people around me. We need to honor everybody. When I walk out of the room, I say, thank you, everybody, for helping me today. We choose to honor people with our words, with our actions. How many people want God to really be around you all the time? How many people want God to hang out with you? I want God to hang out with me all day long. If you want God to hang out with you, you need to walk in the same way He walked. If you are rude, if you don't care, you despise people, you look down on people, you speak words that are not good in the eyes, in the ears of God, God's not going to hang out with you. The presence of God will not be around you. So, you need to walk in honor. Honor everybody. Honor the things of God. Amen. Choose to honor, even though your heart may say, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to honor them. Even though I say that, I don't want to honor them because I don't like them. But choose to honor, because our God is the honorable God. Amen. Honoring people is not something happened to you automatically when you were born. We need to learn how to honor people. And we learn from our teachers, we learn from our leaders in the church, we learn from our parents, we learn from people around us. We were not born to be honorable people right away. We need to learn and we need to change. Amen. Unfortunately, in this generation, people know very little about honor. The reason people know little about honor because they don't know God. The more you know God, the more you get touched by God, the more you will understand the honor of God. And then you can walk in honor and honor other people. Therefore, the key is to know God. A few days ago, a pastor from Melbourne, Australia, asked me, what is the real passion in your heart? I said that my real passion is to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ become pure and holy, become a glorious church, become a church that is so pure, like a wearing white linen. And not only that, they will fall in love with Jesus and know Jesus personally. That's my passion. I want to see people in the church really live a pure life and know God. And the more you know Him, the more you love Jesus and know Jesus, the more honorable person you're going to be. And you will walk in honor. Amen. And the reason I love the touch of God, I love the presence of God, because when the touch of God, when the fire of God touch you, He will imprint into your life the honor of God, because our God is the honorable God. He need to touch you more and get rid of all the junk, all the dross in your life, all the humanness, but put in the godliness into you. And one of the character of God is honor. Our God is the honorable God. In Luke chapter 16, verses 11 to 15, therefore, if you have not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now the Pharisees, Jesus was talking about money and God. If you are not faithful in the area of finances, God cannot trust you in the area of true riches, which is the anointing, the power, the presence of God, the wisdom of God, the joy of God, the victory of God. All these are the riches from heaven. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. Do you notice that God knows your heart? You cannot lie to God. You can pretend in front of people who you are, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In other words, he said, God's value system is different from man's value system. If we love God, we fear God, we need to take on the value system of God. Many things that we think is very valuable may be an abomination in the eyes of God. Are we willing to say, yes, I agree with you? Or are we going to say, no, God, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to value whatever I want, and I don't care your feeling or your thoughts. But the Bible says that we need to follow His thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Amen? So I want to encourage you today to study the Bible. Don't listen to the TV too much. Don't listen to the world too much, because the world is going to teach you to be dishonorable people. The world is going to tell you to gossip about people, to ridicule people. In fact, a few days ago, I talked to a leader in the church. He said, Pastor Lau, I'm not sure what you are preaching about honor, because you say that we should not say anything bad about the government, about leadership in the government. Let me clarify to all of you. It's okay to disagree with leaders. Amen. It's okay to disagree, because you don't idolize leadership. But if you're going to disagree, you should disagree in an honorable way. Let me repeat one more time. If you disagree, you disagree in an honorable way. How you do it? You go talk directly to that leadership and say, this area I don't agree. Let's discuss. Instead of this honorable way is this. Go out on the TV and ridicule and make fun of that leader. That is this honorable way. Or you go around in the whole city and gossip about that leadership. That is dishonorable way. You can discuss about what your thought is and what the leadership thought is, but don't do it in a dishonorable way. I'm talking about the heart of honor, and that will produce the words and the action. I never ask everyone in this church to agree with everything the government or the president is doing. You don't need to agree with everything the president is doing. You don't need to agree with everything that the pastor is doing. But if you're going to disagree, let's do it in an honorable way. Amen. Don't talk behind their back. Don't gossip about them. Pray for them. The Bible says pray for the president, pray for the king, pray for leader, and God will take care. Amen. And if you're going to discuss among you about something wrong happened in the leadership level, in any institution, do it in an honorable way. Don't call them by animal names or something like that. That is not God's way. Be honorable people. Watch your mouth. The Bible say like this in Romans chapter 13 verse 7. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Can I add one thing? If debt, pay your debt. If you owe money, pay the money you owe. Don't cheat. And if people deserve to be honored, you need to honor them. We need to train one another properly how to honor one another. How to honor people, those who deserve to be honored. Amen. You learn already that how to show honor. There are many ways how to show honor. By number one, by your words, how you say it. Number two, by your actions, your body language, show that you honor God or not. This morning, I hurry up my family. Pastor Da still have jet lag, so she couldn't sleep all night. And it's very hard for us to come to church on time because of the jet lag. Now it's about midnight. Actually, yeah, midnight in Thailand is a sleeping time. So I try to hurry up my family to come to church on time because I want my action to show our family, to show honor to God, that we want to honor God the best we can. God see my heart. I do anything I can. I could. Actually, I have to go make route and to hospital this morning, Evergreen and Overlake Hospital. And I wake up at 6 a.m. in order to go make route first because I expect to be here on time to honor the things of God. Amen. God wants us to honor Him in our action too. Not only in our words, but in our action. And honor Him by giving preference to people, prefer people, giving good things to people. So today I'm going to show you some story in the Bible about honor. And you will understand. Amen. How many people remember the story of King David when he was a young boy? David at that time was a shepherd. He was looking after the sheep of his father. And then a Philistine named Goliath came. And this Philistine really defied the army of Israel. And he challenged the God of Israel. He defied the name of the Lord. The young man David was not very happy about it. He knows that the name of God is the name of honor. God wants to keep the honor of his name. So David said, I'm going to take care of this guy who come and talk against the name of God. The Bible says in John chapter 7 verse 18, he who speaks from himself speaks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. There are two kinds of people in the world. If you read the Bible carefully. Today I want to give the topic of this sermon, for the glory or the honor of God. Everyone say, for the honor of God. There are two kinds of people. The people who are doing everything in their words and action for their own honor. That people will respect them and honor them. But if you look in the Bible, everybody who really have the high anointing are those who defend, who live for the honor of God. Or for the name of God. When David went out to challenge Goliath or to fight with Goliath, he did not to challenge Goliath with the attitude of protecting his own honor or trying to raise his own honor, but he tried to protect the honor of God. And he want to keep the name of God in glory and honor. Everyone say, protect the honor of God. Living for the honor of God. For his name's sake. Amen. Look at what David say here. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 47. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name. He did not say that, in the name of my father. But he said, in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, I cannot glorify the name of God, my God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The earth will know there is a God in Israel. The earth will honor the name of God. Do you live your life that way? Do you live your life that everything you do, everything you say, every action that you produce, every attitude that you really honor the name of God? Do you make God look good or do you make God look bad? Whatever you say, how you respond to the situation. This is how King David was. King David said, I want to declare the name of the Lord. I want to protect the honor of my God. That is how he lived his lifestyle. David learned the faith principle. He was looking after the flock of his father. He learned the faith principle that it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. Everyone say, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. You know why? Because as long as God is in you, the enemy is small. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Amen. David know that God is with him. So it doesn't matter how Goliath is big, but as long as God is with him, he's going to knock Goliath down. Everyone say, God is with me. And my God is a big God. He's going to show his glory. God is looking for a man and a woman who is willing to stand up, who is willing to say, I'm going to protect the honor of God, who is willing to say, I'm going to stand up for the name of God. And when you can do that, when you stand up for the name of God in your office, in your workplace, in your school, in your house, God will back you up. God will not retreat. God will not move back. God gonna come before you and protect you and do the miracle things before you. Because God still want to protect his name. If you stand up for his name, if you want to live for the honor of his name. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 verse 7, look how serious God think about his name or his reputation. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Ezekiel 36 verse 23, I will show the holiness of my great name. This is from NIV. Which has been profaned among the nations. The name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord. When I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Everyone say through you. I remember when I first came to America in 1985, and I was working at Harborview Hospital around 1986. And all the doctors in the hospital were talking about the corruption of the minister in America that have commit adultery and cheat money in the ministry. I was standing in the X-ray department, and when I heard all these neurosurgeons were talking, and intern and resident were talking about how bad the church and Christianity were at that time, my heart was broken. I say, who gonna stand up in America to protect the honor of God? Who gonna say, I die to my flesh and will not sin against God to make the name of God despised by people around here in the US? I want to bring back the honor of God in this nation, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, watch our mouth, watch our action. Because God said that He wants to protect His name and He wants to use all of you, me and I and you, to really bring the holiness of His name, the honor of His name to the nations. Amen. Our job as a Christian, we need to live our life that the honor of God would shine through us. How we speak, how we behave, how we react to the situation, how we respond to the circumstances. Look at Moses. When Moses interceded for the children of Israel, you remember that Moses went up to the mountain, to Mount Sinai, to get the Ten Commandments. And then the children of Israel say, oh, Moses, so delay. He didn't come back. Let's get gold and build a golden calf. And let's worship that God and call that golden calf Jehovah who brought us out of Egypt. God saw that. And God was very, very angry. He told Moses, okay, Moses, I'm going to wipe out this generation. I'm going to let kill all of them and make you a father of the new generation. I'm going to kill all these Israelites, including Aaron. And Moses interceded for the children of Israel. Moses did not want God to kill all of them. Moses is a good leader. He interceded for his member, a good pastor. Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 to 14. When you read the scriptures carefully, you can see the context. That when Moses begged God and pleaded to God to hold back his anger and his wrath, he quoted the honor of his name. He did not want the nations to look down on the name and the reputation of God. Look at what he said. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn. So in other words, if you rephrase this prayer, is that God, your name going to be despised. The Egyptians going to look down on your name. They will not honor you anymore because you brought these people out and killed them with your own hands. So Moses pleaded God on the basis of the honor of the name of God himself. You see, the second leadership now, David, was protecting the name of God, the honor of God. And now Moses was pleading God for the sake of the honor of the name of God again. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, your servant to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land I will have spoken of, I give your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord, look at the outcome. Anytime you do anything, you pray, you serve, you do anything with the mentality that I want to give honor to the name of God. I want to make God look good. I want to honor my God. God relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. God began to move for you on your behalf. Amen. How many people promise God that from today on, you're going to live your life that give honor to God? How many people say, I'm going to protect the name of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Husband, before you yell to your wife in your house, in front of your kids, remember that if you talk bad words, sarcastic words, in fact, I have one habit I used to do a lot, is used to speak sarcastically. I like to sarcast people to make fun. But for some reason, in the past few months, when the Holy Spirit touched me, God began to deal with me. And he said that, you know, Mom, this is not honoring to me. I have to shut my mouth. Lately, I dare not sarcast people that much anymore. I mean, I reduce it so much to the point that I rarely say anything sarcastically. Because I know that it will make God look bad. Because everyone know that I'm a pastor and I am a Christian. So we have to be careful. Whatever we say, do we honor God? Whatever we do, think about it carefully. Do I bring the honor to the name of God? Amen. Let's look at how we can honor God and how can we honor people. From this sermon and next Sunday sermon, I'm going to show you different story in the Bible to prove to you that what I'm preaching is not my own idea, but is in the Bible. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? The word despise have a range of meaning. It can mean like being disgusted with or speaking scornfully of something. But here God tried to say that despise mean to not acknowledge the value of something. If you don't value God, if you don't value the things of God, you will give God the leftover. In other words, I would like to say this. Giving is related to the honor of God. You can tell the condition of a person's spirit. You can tell a condition of the church by look at how they give offering to God. Let me repeat one more time. How you can see the condition of a person's spirit, you look at how they offer to God or give offering to God. God was rebuking the priests in that generation in the book of Malachi that they did not honor God. How? Look at verse 7 and 8. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defied you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible or despise or deserve no respect. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled and diseased animals. Oh, when I read this scripture, I really feel convicted. Is that not wrong? Because the question is, the TV in this building is better than the TV at our church, our house or not? The chair in this building is better than the chair in our house or not? God is trying to say something. Hey, your guy, you give cheap thing to God. You have a poverty mentality. Everything for God is cheap, run down, broken, diseased, sick. You give the cheap TV to God, but for your own house, you have a plasma, 60-inch TV. But for the church, for God, everything just left over. I feel really convicted every time I read this scripture. Is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Say the Lord Almighty. Pretty quiet in this room today. God saying that when you despise God, you give the broken, the disease, the lame animals. You give the leftover to God. And he asks his question, will you give that to the governor? And the governor will be pleased with you. If you're going to give some to some people, you honor some people, don't give the cheapest thing, the leftover thing. Give the best. If you're going to give God, give the best. The Bible says like this, chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the last fruits of all you increase. The first fruits. I wonder, were you listening to me or not? I tried to test you. And with the first fruits of all you increase. In other words, say that, give me the first. Give him the best thing. God say, if you give me junk, you despise me. I want our church not to have any poverty mentality. That we're going to use the worst kind of musical instrument for God. We're going to buy the kind of thing for God. We need to honor God by giving Him the best. The house of God needs to have everything the best. Amen. Don't be stingy to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't hear amen from this side. Can I see you smile? Okay, let me ask this question. How many people want God to honor you? How many people want God to despise you? If you want God to honor you, what do? Honor God, is that right? How do you honor God? Give Him? Can I hear amen from this side? Oh, this side is pretty good. Okay. They know that I can ask questions if they don't say amen. Give Him the best. That's how you honor God. Amen. Look at Malachi chapter 1 verses 9 to 13. You know, the same thing about giving. Give. One day I remember I shared this story already when I just graduated from neurosurgery training in Thailand and I went to a city practicing over there as a young neurosurgeon. I met a 60 years old Christian lady and I was sitting with her at lunchtime and she looked at me and said, "Young man." I said, "What?" "Serve God now." I said, "Why?" "Because you don't want to give the leftover, the peel of the banana to God and eat all the banana and give the peel to God and say, ooh, wow, I repent. I need to serve God since I'm young. I still can walk. I still have strength. I still have the best of my life to serve God. I don't wait until I'm older and I have no strength anymore and give the leftover to God." Amen. Give the best right now. How many people feel that you are in the best part of your life now? Give the best now to God. Serve God now. Hallelujah. Amen. Malachi chapter 1 verse 12 to 13. "But you profane it." God was talking against Israel. He said, "You dishonor my name with action." You profane it means you dishonor my name. "In that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit and its fruit and is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness." In other words, I change to the word today. I mean, oh, it's so tiring to serve God. It's too much. I don't feel comfortable to serve God. I don't want to give my time too much to God. I want to live my own life. Don't bother me. That's what God tried to say. "And you sneer at it." Sneer means you ridicule. Means you take your nose at God's command. You sniff at contemptuously. You kind of look down on the things of God. "Say the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the blame." You know, they did not even give the good thing. They give the stolen one, the lame, and the sick. And then you bring an offering. "Should I accept this from your hand?" Everybody say the word accept. Do you know that God may not accept your offering? Do you know that? God may say, "I don't accept this because you come with the wrong attitude. You give me the leftover to me." Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Abel gave the best. He gave the animal sacrifice. But Cain gave fruits and vegetables. He gave with disobedient heart. And what happened? The Bible says God did not accept the offering of Cain. If you want God to honor you, give Him the best. And He will accept your offering. Amen. I'm very impressed with a lot of people yesterday who donate their time, donate their gifts for the event to raise funds for the kids in Uganda. They gave the best. One care group gave that TV, the flat screen TV. One care group gave the best to God. Many care group gave money to buy that iPhone to God. You give the best to God. They don't give the leftover to God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God give all of us the equal opportunity to honor Him and to be honored by Him. Next Sunday, we're going to learn about the story of a person who honored God and how God blessed that person. But today I want to encourage you. To honor God is a choice. Amen? It's a choice. And I want to say this thing. It's not about the amount you give to God that will impress God. One person may write a check, $10,000. But for that person, it's a leftover. Because he has another $50 million in the bank. But another person may give $5. But that $5 is all that that person has in his wallet. So, do you remember the story of the widow that gave 2 coins? And God say, this woman is honorable woman. She loved me because she gave the best and gave it all. It's not about the amount. Let me say this way about giving, honoring God. You honor God when you give to Him what means much to you. What really important to you. You may say that I give God a chopstick. But that chopstick, you don't need it anyway because you don't eat the chopstick, you eat with spoon. So you give something that doesn't mean anything to you and you just give to God. But another lady, I remember the story of Yong Ji Sho. She came in to give offering to the building fund and she gave 1 bowl of rice soup and 1 pair of chopsticks. And that's all she had in her house. She's a poor lady. And that's all she used to eat dinner every day. But that means so much for her. So when you honor God, you don't give leftover or give something that doesn't mean anything to you anyway. You're going to throw it away. You're going to put in the carousel or you're going to put in the recycle anyway. If you give those kind of things to God, it doesn't mean much to God. He wants you to give whatever means a lot to you to honor Him. Is that right? Because for the sake of the time, I'm going to stop here. And next Sunday, we're going to read the story from the Bible. That people who honor God give the best to God. Give what means so much to them to God. Not left over. Not something that they don't need anymore. They're going to throw in the garbage can anyway. Don't bring those things to church, please. Don't bring something you're going to throw in the garbage can to church and say, and then you walk around with a big chest like this and say, you know, I'm a giver. Give the best to God to honor Him. Amen. Wow, so quiet today. It's a good sermon. If you go to church and you don't feel convicted, you're not in the church. If you feel good, people come and make fun and joke and make you laugh and make you feel good on Sunday and you like that kind of preaching. In fact, I listened to a preaching a few days ago and I feel, wow, this is all about joke and about laughing and it's about man's idea. It's about my opinion. I said, I don't want to hear this kind of preaching. I want to hear the word of God. I want to hear what God wants to talk to me and I want to change. I don't want joke. I want real thing, real stuff. Amen. But I know a lot of people don't like this because they make them feel uncomfortable. Amen. I'm not done yet. Praise God. Let's pray for this part then. Let's pray. Close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for teaching us to live a life for the honor of God, for the holiness of your name. Father, this church wants to honor you. We want to protect the honor of your name. And every time, whatever we do, anything, whether prayer, intercession, serving, doing the ministry, Lord, help us to have the right motive. It's not to lift up our own ministry and own name, but to lift up the honor of God, like David, like Moses, Lord. Oh Lord, help us to be the generous giver in this church. That we will not bring junk and leftover to you, Help us not to have the poverty mentality in the house of God, but have a rich mentality in our own house. That we buy, Father, the best for our own house, but give the worst, the lame, the leftover to you, Lord. We want to give you the best. What means so much to us, we want to give to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Last Monday, I was in the operating room, and I was crying in my spirit. I was talking to God. God, thank you, Lord, that you give me the gift of the fire of God to lay hand on people. But I have frustration in my heart. I was kind of talking to God. God, I really have frustration. Because this kind of thing is not well accepted that much in Northwest here. When I lay hand, the guests will run out. They don't like it. And I say, God, can I stop laying out of hand? So that the church maybe grow more, more people will join. And when I talk to God like that, I was crying. I say, I'm frustrated. Because in one sense, I want to grow the church. But on the other hand, I need to obey the Lord. And if I don't use my gift to bless people, the Lord is going to punish me and judge me. Last Sunday, two Sundays ago, when I was laying on of hand, doing the laying on of hand, God was speaking to me. Actually, Jesus was speaking to me. Jesus said, Son, do you know that if you all in this church could go back to 2,000 years ago while I was walking on earth, you would see that you will not just listen to my sermon for half an hour, sing a few songs, and go home. People stay with me all day long, and I lay hand until nighttime to the point that there is no food enough, and I have to multiply the fish and the bread. Because I want to bless people. I want to bless people by laying my hand on them to impart the anointing and heal them and cast demons out of them. If I walk into America today in any church, the meeting will not end at the end of the sermon because I will still lay hand on people. When the Lord spoke to me, I was already drunk in the spirit. I was sitting down and I cried. God, help the people in my church and in this city to know your heart, that you want to bless them. It's a question come up to me. Pastor, why do you have to lay hand all the time? What is in the Bible? Number one, the Bible says that Jesus lay hand all the time. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ear and he spat and touched his tongues. And then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. And begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garments, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. The little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. And he laid his hand on them, meaning on the children, and departed from there. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garments. And as many as touched him were made well. Then he put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Then he came and touched the open coffin. Touch, 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 touch. Those who were carrying him and stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Everyone say hands. I believe that Jesus Christ still wants to touch people today. But he touched people to the hand of his servant. Don't let the devil lie to you that the laying on of hand is not important. One day when you go to heaven, you're going to thank God that your pastor lay hand. Right now you may not see it. Mary Jo asked me, why lay hand all the time? Because I believe in the theology of the perfect, beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the theology that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to meet the perfect, beautiful bride. In reality, is we all have junk inside us. Pastor Da and I just came back from Bangkok. And it's amazing. I had something God dealt with me. I was laying on a hand and the Holy Spirit touched me, touched me, touched me all the time. And I came back with the new things in my spirit that God changed me. I mean, even a pastor like me need to change. Do you know that? God need to deal with me. God need to cleanse me, purge all the junk out of me little by little so that I can become like Christ. So if we receive the file of God or lay hand on only once a year, how fast you're going to become like Christ? When the anointing, when the file of God touch you, you're going to change a little bit more, a little bit more, closer and closer to become like Christ. Two nights ago, Pastor Da woke up because of the jet lag and she woke me up. Thank God that she woke me up at 2 a.m. And I'm like, oh, what? And she shared with me that she went to the camp in Thailand and God touched her. And God changed her one thing. And when she shared with me, I say, thank God. He talked to you the same way he talked to me. I dare not share with you because I don't want to scare you what God talked to me. But it's exactly the same thing that God dealt with me and Pastor Da, the same issue that God wants to change us as a pastor of this church. One more touch, your pastors will change. So he wants to send the fire into the church to produce the beautiful bride of Christ. And I believe that the fire of God is still available today to change people's life from glory to glory to glory. I have the responsibility to help you change, and I change too, to become the beautiful bride of Christ. And every time you get touched, believe that God is going to take some junk out of you. Maybe sickness, maybe disease, maybe demons, maybe bad attitudes, maybe some wrong understanding, some misconception of the doctrine in the Bible, some misunderstanding of the Word of God, something going on in your life that you don't even see yourself, only God sees. God is coming back, the bride, for the perfect bride, beautiful bride. And we need to prepare ourselves to meet him. This is not a religion. This is not a joke. This is not just a game. We are serious about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. This is not just a church activity. This is not just a religious ceremony. It's the real thing. It's the holiness of God that God wants to come and burn in the church. The junk out of the church. I don't know about you, but I am hungry to change. I want to be like Christ. Amen. So when you get prayed for, it's not about just having goosebumps or fall or laugh. It's about change. It's about repentance. It's about let God deal with you certain issue. That he wants to move you from glory to glory to glory. Amen. I know this is a weird church. I know this is a weird pastor in Northwest, because other churches don't do this. But I'm sorry. I have to obey God more than man. I want to wash you to become like Christ. It's not a game. It's reality. Amen. You know, one day, many Christians in America and in Seattle gonna see that this is a norm. They don't see it now, but one day they're gonna see. This is norm in the church. This is a normal thing, not unusual thing. But we just, what you call, forerunner. We are the forerunner. We run ahead. Amen. How many of you people feel the presence of God now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.